Cinema.
Hey guys, welcome back to another Sunday of Beyond the Veil with your host Lisa Lamrock. Tonight we have a wonderful house full. We have my guest co-host Holly Mullins, a producer of the Vibe Network, paranormal investigator. We also have Denise Pridemore, who's taken the time to call in, and she's from Pridemore Paranormal. And my special guest tonight is investigator Dave Spinks of Society of the Supernatural. Welcome, all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Excited.
I thought we'd let Denise start out with the first question. Denise, do you have any questions for Dave?
Yes, I do. I want to know, since you left the Sally House, how has everything been going for you?
Well, pretty good, actually. But there, you know, I've taken a hiatus, if you will, due to some medical issue I got to get taken care of. But the medical issue has I don't think it was from the Sally House. I've had it for a while now, but it has gotten worse. So I'm dealing with taking care of that at the moment. So
what are your plans for now? You know, paranormal wise.
I'm just finishing my book up, you know, and revamping a bunch of my old videos and putting them on my new channel and adding new videos to my new channel that I'm still in the process of working on. So later in the month, I will be heading out west with my buddy David Weatherly from Society of the Supernatural. We'll be doing a week-long deal there at a secret location.
I love secrets.
When is this book? Oh, go ahead. I was curious, too, when the book is supposed to release.
Well, the book is, I'm still finishing it. I'm in the last days of it, and then it's got to go to the editor, and it should be sometime around early, mid-June. I went back and changed a few things in it and you know, cleaned it up a little bit, so it's taken me a little bit longer. And then, you know, normal everyday life gets in the way, so stuff slows you down a little bit, and all these investigations I've been doing has really slowed me down. So I decided to take a break and take care of my personal health issue and then finish up all my projects that I got going.
Denise, did you have anything else?
Oh, I could ask questions all night, but I'm going to let you, it's your show, so we'll let you take care of that. So, Dave, good luck.
All right.
And prayers for your health.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Denise, for calling in.
Yes.
Good hearing
from
you.
See you later.
See ya.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
I accidentally dropped Dave when I was dropping Denise. If you guys want to hold on for just a minute.
Hey, I'm good. I'll keep us down. I thought for a second I was going to have to do some EVP sessions because y'all dropped. Didn't know where you were. Just saying.
Couldn't hear us?
I can't hear nobody. I mean, I can hear Lisa. Can nobody hear me?
Hey,
yeah,
Dave.
I'm here.
Sorry. Yeah, I was trying to cut Denise and accidentally cut you.
No worries.
All right. I think we may have lost Holly. I can hear
her. Can you hear me?
Can
you hear me?
I can hear her in the background. Yes, Holly.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Listen.
Okay, I'm going to mute her and let her call back in or something. So I wanted to ask you, like, when it comes to the paranormal, if there was, like, a theory or an opinion on something that your views just changed on over time since starting out in the paranormal, like through research or evidence?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. When I first started out, you know, it was due to experiences that I had with my grandfather, and I knew there was something else to it, but I was still pretty much, you know, a hardcore skeptic. And then over the years of doing this and getting some of the evidence that I've gotten, it really has opened my eyes, if you will, and I've been able to experience, lucky enough, you know, to experience some things that are just truly supernatural / paranormal, you know, in my personal opinion, that I can't explain. And, you know, it's really opened me up to further, you know, just knowing personally that there's a lot more to this than we all even realize, you know. And teaming up with David and Weatherly and Mike Ricksecker, you know, we all have the same point of view on a lot of this stuff. So, and with all of us combined, you know, we have over just right around 100 years of experience level in investigating. So it's awesome to be able to pull from each other, from our knowledge bases and our experience levels and what we've all experienced separately into one conglomerate, if you will, and really pull off of each other and try to form some of our own new theories in this field.
Now, how did you come across Mike and David? How did y'all meet and come together like you did?
Well, I met Mike a couple of years ago. I run a location here in West Virginia for this woman who owns a really awesome place. That was where I was going to have my event that I had to cancel because of my leg issue. And he had come down with a group that was investigating it, and I got to meet him, and we hung out a bit and talked. And then short time thereafter, I was out west, and I got to meet David Weatherly, and we hit it off. And I kind of, the old light bulb kind of went off in my head, and I was like, man, I got to get these two guys together, and all three of us go do some investigations. And we made it happen last Halloween up in Indiana. And, you know, once we all work together, it's just really taken off from there, and we're doing a lot of really cool stuff together.
Now, I wanted to ask about, you've been military, law enforcement, how that affects investigating. Like, do you feel it makes you investigate different, in a different manner than maybe some people, and how it affects you?
In a sense, yeah, because, I mean, when you're in the military, you know, you're trained a certain way. When you're in law enforcement, you're trained a certain way. And that's something that average everyday people may not have. You know, they may not have that training under their belt. So that enhances my ability as far as investigations go, I believe. Now, not to say that I'm better than anyone else. That's not what I'm saying. It just, you know, it helps my approach. And there's a certain methodology that I use when I do investigate that stems from my background and, you know, training aspect-wise. You know, when you're in the military, you are a trained observer, same with law enforcement and all that, and then you're taught different methodologies of how to conduct an investigation. So I think it does nothing but help me and enhance my investigation abilities.
Right.
Now, it's my turn to get you, Dave. How about that? Listen, I thought I was going to have to call out. I thought I was going to have to get you to do some live EVP sessions to try to get me back on. But no, Dave, seriously, are you into cryptoology as well, other than the paranormal? I mean, you know, of course, the paranormal fits right in there, but
Yeah, I am. I actually investigate all aspects of the paranormal. I always have. Just lately, over the last few years, I've been concentrating mainly on spirits and ghost type activity. But I've had several experiences over my time with UFOs and some other things. And I think it all, you know, to me, all of it may be, I mean, this is just a theory, but to me, I feel that a lot of this stuff may be interconnected somehow. I don't know how or why yet, but, you know, there's a lot of strange coincidences when you've done this as long as me, you know, and me, Mike, and Dave have all done it for a very long time. And when you know, you get to talking to other folks that have done it a long time, they come across some of the same type of experiences. And we try to interact with all these folks and get their takes and what they've experienced. And lo and behold, you have a lot of these similarities that just, you're like, wow, it really opened your eyes, you know?
Yeah, well, you know what straw, you know, really pulled out to me, David, and I don't know what your opinion is or theory is on when it comes to cryptids and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of people do believe that, like, Bigfoot and other creatures are interdimensional, and having UFOs and all this other, all these other things that come together, do you feel like it's like a, maybe a interdimensional kind of bleeding into our universe? Or, I mean, is it that far out there? Because I'm kind of far out.
Well, that's, you know, that's the beauty of all this, because we just don't know. And anything,
right,
in my world, is anything's possible. I mean, they're finding new species of animals in the ocean and on land all across the world every single day. You know, now when you get into a cryptid that, you know, walks and is, they say, is the missing link between humans and apes, I mean, who knows? You know, the way I explain it to people is, number one, you got to be open-minded. Number two, if you live out in the woods, you know, or if you're going about your everyday 9-to-5 life, you know, you're concentrating on going to work, feeding the kids, doing the family thing, or whatever you do normally, how often do you look up in the sky? How often do you look, you know, 20 yards away into the woods? Something you I could stand behind a tree and you would never know I was there, and I could watch, you know. So what's to say an intelligent being or creature could not do the same, you know?
You're absolutely right.
And if they're primarily nocturnal and they operate at night, I mean, humans sleep at night. So, you know, that would enhance their ability to hide for so long.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm in the Appalachian Mountains, and, you know, I've had people around me who have experienced, in my family, that have had experiences with seeing Bigfoot and whatnot. But now it's, you know, I think it's very interesting to be so open-minded and being around people in the paranormal field and just listen to people's theories. I know for myself, like, I've had experiences with astral projection, so it does put you in, I can see them theories because, oh, man, it's another world, I'm telling you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I live in the Appalachians, too. I live on top of a mountain in West Virginia, and I'm surrounded by millions of acres of woods, you know. You know, there's so many different aspects. And I also tell people, you know, I'm like, you know, we are just now unlocking, you know, the human brain. And I don't think – I think we all have the ability to do things that we do not control at this point.
Yes.
But some people are more open than others with their abilities and what they can sense and let in and how to control it.
But, I absolutely agree.
And who knows what the possibilities are, you know? It's very exciting to me, and it blows me away, all of it. You know, that's why I do it, and I'm passionate about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Let's go back to you, Abby. I don't want to steal your thunder. Away sometimes too.
You're good. No, I was going to ask you about your live feeds and what your biggest challenge has been with that.
Oh, God. Live feed is a whole nother animal, guys. I mean, the reason I try to do the live feeds is because there's so many people out there that love the paranormal and the supernatural, but they're just not able to do what I do and travel the country and go to all these awesome locations, and I try to share in what I do with those folks that can, they can jump on my channel and they can feel like, you know, they're there with me, and essentially they are. And they're in the live chat room and putting input in, they're getting feedback. You know, what you see is what you get. It's happening live, and that's why I do that.
Do you have any pre- or post-investigation rituals? Not necessarily. I mean, it could be protection-wise, but, like, I have a certain pair of socks I have to I wear to investigation. I know it sounds tacky, but they're my ghost socks. But do you have any rituals?
Sometimes, you know, when you go to some of these really negative locations, you can feel it when you get out of the car, you know. You're just like, wow, you know, this place is heavy or whatever the case may be. And a lot of times I'll say, you know, to myself a little protection prayer and whatnot, and then when I leave I say another one. And sometimes when I'm in there, if it's getting real heat, you know, real nasty, and I'll say another one to myself in there, you know, and it's all in your preference, what your beliefs are. And, you know, I don't, you know, discourage anyone from doing that. I think it's a good idea because I have had stuff follow me home from locations before, and that's not fun.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. What about, lost my train of thought. Some people say that all spirit are evil. You know, what do you say about when people say that? I mean, because they say, oh, you know, they're all demons, they're all evil. I'm sure you've heard it within the paranormal.
No, yeah, I've heard that. I mean, that's the real kicker, isn't it? We don't know what they are, and we can't say without a shadow of a doubt what we're communicating with. We don't know if it's a demon, if it's a ghost, or whatever the thing may be. It could be an alien acting like a deceased loved one. We don't know, and that's what we're trying to find new and better ways to try and discover what we're actually communicating with. Will we ever find out? I don't know. And, you know, are we supposed to even know? I don't know. You know, we don't know, but I'm going to keep trying as long as I'm able to do it. You know, that's the whole, you know, if you guys read my website, you know, I have a little saying on there, you know, it's one of man's greatest questions. What happens to us when we die? Do we just die and that's it? Or does our energy transform into something else and go somewhere else? You know, or are we reincarnated? Who knows? You know, but that's the beauty of this. And it's, you know, you have to have an open mind in all aspects of this field. And that's just the way I look at it. And that's the way I pursue it.
Oh, you know, I agree with you there, Dave, on, you know what I love about you is that you've been in this for so long and you're still just as passionate about it as I'm sure that you was when you first got into it. A lot of people get into the field just for that adrenaline rush, and we know these people. Come on now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and most people aren't lucky enough. You know, I did 20 years in the government, so I was able to retire, you know, and pursue my passion full time, which is the paranormal. And, you know, a lot of people have to work their 9-to-5s and they go out on the weekends. You know, that's the difference between ghost hunters to me and paranormal investigators. You know, people that do this as much as I do and some other folks, you know, that are out there. I'm just lucky enough. I'm fortunate enough that I had a career. I was able to retire in 20 years and I get to pursue, you know, my passion now, and I don't work a day in my life because I enjoy it, you know, so it's a great thing. And you know, the whole TV thing, it helps the field and it also hinders the field because what you see on TV, guys, anyone that's listening, anybody in the chat room, it's not the real deal for the most part. You know, you got to remember that it's a show. And they are governed by ratings, and they got to make money. So they're going to make sure they got some sort of evidence, no matter what happens, because they're spending $50,000 a week sending these guys out to these locations. You better believe they're going to come back with some kind of evidence. And you can take that, you know, how you wish, but that's just the way it is. I've been to numerous locations where I've been there for 2, 3, 4 days and not gotten a thing. And then I go back to the same location at a different time, and bam, it's off the chain with activity. So you just never know what you're going to get when you do this.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's something that the paranormal investigator I tell everybody. You know, that's the first – if you hear someone say, listen, this is not who is on TV. This is like – you could be in a location for hours and hours and hours and hours and not experience anything. All that investigation time is – down to what an hour show, sometimes not even that, and it's all the nice, you know, jumps and scares and things that make you go, oh, wonder, make you wonder, you know, and then they'll come back from commercial and it'd be a spider. Oh, man, that's all that gets me. See,
yeah, I mean, TV's entertainment, you know, that's what it is, and that's all it's ever going to be. I mean, they do have some real evidence on there, you know, of course they do, but you know. There's times when you can tell when they're playing EVPs back. It doesn't say anything what you can hear it saying. It doesn't say anything, you know. So you're just like, what? It didn't say that. So
right.
You know, but it does help the field in the sense that it, you know, in the last 10, 15 years, it has really opened up everyone's eyes, and it's more accepted now than it ever was before. When I started doing this, they told me, you know, people said, man, don't do that, son. You're messing with demons. You're messing with demons, you know. And, you know, my grandfather was a fire and brimstone preacher, Baptist minister for 40 years. So,
I
you know, he was very hardcore adamant not for, you know, anyone to be doing that stuff, because it's his way of believing, and that's what he does. You know, he doesn't want to see anyone get possessed, basically. You know, that's what it is.
Right.
What it comes to, so, and
yeah,
I
was raised the same way. Like, I'm in Southwest Virginia. I'm a little bit below you, but I was raised Baptist too, so I know all about that.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, and, you know, I've always kind of been a rebel, if you will, going against the grain, because I'm just a hardhead like that, and I want my own answers, you know, and it's just the way that I am. So
yeah,
I don't have anything to say about that.
Yeah,
now that you've
absolutely
investigated so many locations for so many years, how do you feel about children being spirit? Because some say, too, there's so much out there that that children cannot be spirit. They can't be earthbound. Do you feel like they can?
I think that comes down to your belief system, you know, because if you're a Christian, they teach you that, you know, the innocent ones, they automatically go to heaven if they die and all that stuff. But,
yeah,
you know, that's one of the reasons I do this. I want answers to all those questions. And I've had activity or interactions with some type of entity that is portraying a child, and it's not a child. It's something bad. You know, so who knows? I mean, you know, sometimes I feel, in my own personal opinion, you know, that people die so suddenly and so fast, whether it be an accident or whatever, that they don't know they're dead, and they're stuck here until they realize they need to go cross over, you know, and go where they're supposed to be. And they might be stuck here for a while because they died so fast and so instantaneously that they don't know. And a lot of that happens with soldiers and stuff, you know, and things like that, because they just don't know. It's just so instantaneous.
It looks like we have somebody calling in. I'm going to go ahead and click over. I was going to go to break, but let me grab them. Hi, this is Lisa with Beyond the Veil. Who are we talking to? You're on air. Is this Lisa?
Listen, break out the ghost box. EVP session, okay?
I know.
Get it going.
I was going to say, they're not responding.
It's probably a ghost.
Right? Listen, how many radio shows have you been on, Dave, that has some kind of, like, issues going on? Like, I interview so many different people, but it's not everybody. It's certain people. I understand there's technical issues.
That's a good question, because I've actually had several instances when I've been on the radio, and we've actually played back the show and got EVPs on there.
Yes, that's happened on some of my shows.
Yeah. So that's, you know.
Well, damn it, Dave, you're messing up my system. No,
it happens. Listen, it's all about energy.
It might be
guys.
Seven, so, yeah.
Never know.
I think we'll go ahead and go to break, and maybe they'll call back. And when we get back, I wanted to ask you about, they're calling in again. Let's see if they answer this time. This is Lisa. You're on the air with Dave. Hello? Okay. All right. So we're right. So we'll go ahead and go to break. And when we get back, I wanted to ask you about the Welsh house that you lived in for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds really interesting, and I want to find out the history behind it and what made you stay there for 3 weeks. That's a long time to stay at a place. But we're going to break with some Sean Austin. Love his music. Through the Wind is this song, and we'll be back in 4 minutes.
All right.
Sweet.
Welcome back. If you're just now joining us tonight, we have guest co-host Holly Mullins from the Vibe Network, and also paranormal investigator Dave Spinks is our guest tonight. Dave, I wanted to ask you about the Wells Street house that you lived in for 3 weeks and investigated for an extended period. What was the history behind that, and what experiences did you have there?
Well, that's, you know, for me, that's a very prolific case I was involved with. I was asked there to go, you know, asked to go there and be a part of a team that went in and investigated, actually lived in this house and investigated it for the first time over 3 weeks. And then I went back with two of the original team members and me for a second time. And then a third time, it was just two of us from the original team and then another new person. And then the last time was me and the same guy, and John Zaffis was involved with it. And the second to the last investigation, the Constantinos were actually involved a little bit with us on that one. So the case was about, you know, the house is a notoriously known haunted house to the locals there. Numerous suicides in the house. I don't want to give too much information because that's my book is on that case. So,
more reasons to check out your book when it comes out.
Exactly. But numerous suicides in the house, another known death associated with the house, and the property sat on Native American sacred ground. Also, during the time it was a plantation, there was numerous Native American and white, you know, against the white war there over, you know, rights to the land. And it just has layer after layer after layer of things you would look for in a notoriously haunted house. The Warrens were actually there in the early 80s. From what I understand, Lorraine did not go in. She stood outside rubbing her hand. There's a picture in the newspaper there of her, and she was saying that there's definitely something bad in this house. Now, we know about the suicides. Also, there was the neighbors reported to us that people would seem to move in and they would either be there a very short time and move out, and like the house would go up in foreclosure, you know, time after time after time this happened, or people would be there for a little while longer and they would seem that they were normal everyday people, but they started soon having alcohol problems, drug related problems, all kinds of just bad negative juju going down in this house. So, you know, you couldn't ask for a more storybook, you know, telltale sign of a haunted location than that one. And a lot of the things I experienced there were just off the chain, just insane. And I saw several people involved really, really negatively affected, including myself for up to a year afterwards, over a year. And I had to get a cleansing done to get it all straightened out. So,
oh, wow. That's intense.
Location, was it just more for like the proof and they wanted the evidence, or did they ask for it to be cleansed afterwards and bring like someone in? Or?
Well, yeah, you can find out more about that aspect of it in my book. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. I don't want to talk about it on the record.
No, that's good.
The book away. But, this place is very, very well known by the locals. It's also the area in general, because I personally believe the Native American sacred land was cursed when the whites took it from them, because it was sacred burial grounds, and they also grew their sacred medicine. You know, they had their medicine gardens there because of the really good springs that were in the area, and that's just, you know, that seems to happen more than not in a lot of these locations we're at. There's some kind of Native American ties to all of this.
And that's happened to us before, Dave. We've dealt with it before, and it's hard. you know, especially being in the backwoods of the Appalachian Mountains. If, you know, if you're anywhere in the Appalachian Mountains, it's hard to find the right people that you need to contact to help in that instance. But the family was actually experiencing like lupus and like all this stuff that was crazy stuff that couldn't happen just to anybody, you know, and they ended up losing the whole house and everything. And the family that owned it after ended up getting a shaman in to help. But what had happened was when we was there, we went multiple times back. And I mean, that's something you just don't mess with Native American. I mean, like, listen, they had their shit together. And you better bet that, you know, I know a lot of people like to go straight to that, though. You know, you have a lot of people and hauntings that you go to that people that it was Native American burial ground.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, you know, they were here way before we were, so who knows? But, you know, that whole, you know, that was a case I really wanted to be involved with because it was so in-depth and so long, and it had never been done before as far as I know. And I don't think anyone's done that, even up to this date, has, you know, been in a location for that amount of time and stayed there pretty much 24/7. And lived in it and investigated it and did what we did. So, you know, that's I'm very proud of that aspect of it, but it had to pay a little bit of a heavy price in some aspects on it.
Yeah.
Well, now, like, go ahead, Holly. I can hit him next.
No. I was just going to say, well, we can't wait to hear about it in your book. So go ahead, Lisa.
Yeah. I know. I want to check it out. No, like, aside from this case, because you were living there, and the family, I'm assuming, was too. Do you allow family, like, of a residential case to be home during investigations or cleansings?
No. I usually interview them, and I want to go in by myself and see what happens. And then if I don't get anything, then I may bring, you know, unless it's a child, I will not bring a child in and use them as a trigger object, if you will. If it's an adult and they're willing to do it, then, and they want to do it to help try to get document the evidence, or, you know, if I can validate some of the claims they're having, like if they're getting attacked or when they're in the home or whatever the case may be, and I have to have them in there and they want to do it, yeah, then they can do it, you know. But other than that, you know, I want to see firsthand what, if I can validate what's happening to those people, and then go from there to try to get them the help they need. With the Wells house, no one had lived in it for over 2 years. The last owner, she had died 2 years prior to that, and her family owned it. What was really creepy about it as well is a lot of her personal belongings were still in the house. The kids lived out of state, so, you know, when we were in there, I mean, her dishes were still there, everything, you know, and there's more about that in the book. I'm not trying to plug my book on your show, but that's the truth.
No,
of the
you're
matter.
Good. That's what it's for.
And, you know, there's just a lot of crazy aspects to it that, you know, that you just got to check out because it was an intense, intense investigation.
Yeah, I ask because some people say, you know, you want them there to help them feel empowered and take back their home and you know, be like, you have to leave. You can't be here.
Well, I don't do that, guys. That's not I can do some things in that aspect, but I don't because I really don't feel I'm qualified to. I like to leave that to matters of clergy, you know, and that aspect of that realm of the paranormal because – I know I can do some things to help ease things, but I don't want the responsibility of going into a home and, you know, saging it or whatever the case may be, and then it coming back tenfold on the family because it does happen. And you know, if it's a truly evil, demonic type of case, you can make it 1,000 times worse for that family. And that's what I meant, you know, earlier on in the show when I was talking about the TV aspect. People think they can watch TV and they can go in and start cleansing people's houses, or they say, oh, you've got a demon in here without a shadow of a doubt, and the people up and sell their house and move out, and they're, you know, that's not the case. It was not a demon, you know. So it's a really catch-22 to do residentials and people's homes, and people need to really, really, in my personal opinion, in my experience level, I think it's too bad we don't have some type of school, you know, for the paranormal, to be honest with you, more in depth, because you have to take all that into accountability, you know, and you don't just go into a person's home and tell them they got a demon in there and you're not nowhere near a clergy member. You've never studied in the church or whatever the case may be. You've taken some online freaking class and call yourself a demonologist. That's just not, that don't cut it for me.
Yeah. Now, someone's like out there and they need a group. They're looking for someone. What do you tell them as far as weeding out the good from the bad when they're looking for a good, reliable group?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I would look for a group that's been around a while, they have a good reputation, and they have experience, you know, and they have a lot of contacts in the field, because, you know, these new groups, and I'm not trying to discourage anyone from doing paranormal investigations, so don't get me wrong on that. I think the more people that are involved, the better. I just think people need to really weigh what they're doing and what they're trying to do. Everybody wants to help people, and that's a great thing, but realize in the end you can actually hurt a family or a person worse by not knowing what you're doing, you know. So I think people should take note of that and really be careful, you know. But, you know, if you're looking for a group to join, you know, join a group that they have a good reputation, they're well known in the field, they've been around for a while, and, you know, because experience is everything, knowledge is power, you know. Don't go in blind and try to do something that you have no clue in what you're doing, because you can do a lot of damage.
I absolutely agree, Dave, and I've been there. And I know you probably have too, where you've been into a location where you've been called in because another team. Listen, I've been to a location where they said, hey, you've got two demons in your basement. We saw that around it, and we done a little blessing down the home. Then we'll come back. And, you know, they come back and said, oh, they're gone. Well, the family called us in, and it was just like a horror story for me when I hear this, and I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? It's sad. It's sad because people get into it for the adrenaline part of it, and it's very much true. And you know, Dave, I don't know how you feel about it, but being someone who's had personal experiences, you know, before you know, kind of drew you into the paranormal field. We're all very drawn to the paranormal field. The people who had that. Have been in it for over, like, you know, even years. Some people don't even last that long because they're not really, you know, it's not their calling. And it really is. It's almost like you're spirit led into the field that I've seen. You know, I've talked to many people over the years, and you see these correlations of how people are connected to the paranormal field and how they become, you know, very drawn to the paranormal field because of some of their experiences.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, most, who do we not know that doesn't know someone or someone in their family has had some kind of paranormal experience? I don't know many people, you know, more people than not have had some kind of experience. And, you know, like you said, there is a lot of people that they want the adrenaline rush. And that's, to me, that's the difference between a ghost hunter on the weekend, a weekend warrior, if you will, versus a full-time paranormal person, you know, and you know, some people are able to do that, but it is what it is. And, you know, that's the beauty of it. There's a lot of people out there. We all know some. We've all had our own experiences, and we all know people that have had experiences. And I love to hear people's stories because you just, you know, you can't tell someone they didn't have an experience, you know. And when you're doing an actual investigation of a residential, which, you know, like I said, there's so much liability involved in that, you know. You've got to weed out people that have psychological problems. You know, there's so many different aspects you have to weed through and then actually investigate the place before you can make a determination of, yeah, there may be some possible paranormal activity going on here, you know. And who's to say it's not all interconnected? You know, there's a lot of studies out there that schizophrenics and stuff like that, who's to say that something's not causing that mental, some type of paranormal activity is not causing that, you know? So there's so many different flips and different sides of it that you can look at. I mean, that's the beauty of the field. And I think we're stuck. We've been stuck for a while in a rut, and we need to push through to that next level and start getting down and dirty and trying to figure some of this stuff out.
How does law enforcement, are they pretty accepting? I mean, because you kind of have that personal connection, and I know, you know, years ago it didn't seem they were, and then now they use mediums a lot, it seems. Do you find them pretty accepting, or do you get a lot of crap from?
Well, when I was active, I didn't really put out there. People, all my buddies knew, you know, a lot of them knew what I did on the side and everything, but it's not something I would talk about in front of my superiors because you never know. They might just say, hey, Dave, go see the head shrinker, you know. And it goes down to just everyday people. You know, some people are just full-blown no way in hell that is true, and some people are open to it and some aren't. And it, who knows to say if one of your supervisors is not open to it and they're going to send you for a psych eval. You know what I mean? So you had to be real careful in what you said and what you did. But it's way more accepting now than it ever has been because there has been some cases solved, you know, from psychics and people that have abilities. So, you know, if you have a cold case that's been cold for 10 years and you have nothing left to go on, why not try that part of it, you know? Why not? You never know what it could lead to, so.
I wanted to ask you about paranormal equipment. If there was what piece, like, you're most skeptical about? Like, some people just hate a particular piece of equipment, and what you use the most.
I get that question a lot, guys. I think your best piece of equipment is, guess what, you. We all have gotten that feeling when you walk into some place, you know, and the old hair on the back of your neck stands up, or your arms, or whatever. You got to use your body. Your body is fine-tuned to sense differences in temperature and energy and everything. So your body, number one, and your mind. And then my personal favorite piece of tech, you know, actual equipment is I love the Melmeter, and I love the digital recorder or any type of recorder, because it blows me away still to this day when I'm in a room and I say, if I'm in there by myself and I ask a question and I play back that recorder and I have a response from a voice that I know was not me. You know, how do you explain that? You can't. I mean, and you know, there's no one else in the building or whatever the case may be. I mean, that to me is telling me, hey, there's something else here other than me, you know, and that's, to me, EVPs are probably, besides getting a full-bodied apparition on camera, I mean, that's the best piece of evidence there is out there at the moment.
Well, we're starting to come up on the hour. I wanted to ask you one last question, see if Holly had one, and then I have a random question game that I tend to do with most guests. So I have four random questions for you that aren't – I don't think any of them are paranormal. Well, no, none of them are paranormal related, just for people to get to know you. So before we hit that, though, I wanted to ask about your most, like, unnerving experience as an investigator over the years, something that
stands out. I've had a lot, but one of the more recent ones was me and David Weatherly were at the Rhodes Hotel with several people. Jackie and Tina from the Paris Sisters were there. Jay and Teresa Lynch from Z-Talk Radio were there. Rob and Terry from the owner of Ashmore States was there. We're up there doing a little event, you know, and we had some guests come in and stuff, but we stayed there for 5 days. Well, the second night after the event was over, we were there with just us investigating, and everybody was downstairs except for me and Weatherly, and we were in the bathroom upstairs, and he was conducting a ghost box session. And I had brought another piece of equipment in to sit down in the room with him. And when I bent over, I felt a force hit me, like a wave of energy. And it knocked me backwards, and I got dizzy, and I almost passed out, but I leaned against the wall for a second. And I was like, man, that was weird. And I was real dizzy, so he goes, dude, go sit down. You know, I went and sat down behind the camera, and he had the ghost box running, and he said, what did you do to Dave? And a voice came across the ghost box, and it said, I hit him like that. And
wow.
I kept feeling like something was messing with my head, like a little, you know, you get the little spider web or the cobweb sensation when stuff is touching you. And I don't know, it was about 20 minutes later, and he actually said, what did you hit him with? And it said a shovel, and it went, ha, 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 like that. And
wow.
about 20 minutes later, we went downstairs, and I felt a tickling sensation on my head again, and everybody was sitting down there. And this all happened live on my channel, by the way. And I put my fingers on my head, and I pulled them down, and I had blood on my fingers. And something, I had a big knot on my head, and something had cut my head open. So it was almost, and the place was a notorious location. It was a brothel at one time. Mobsters had hung out there. And, you know, me being law enforcement, I'm figuring, well, maybe they know I'm law enforcement, so he just cracked me on the head with a shovel, like he said, on the ghost box.
Yeah.
And that was pretty unnerving when something physically attacks you to that point where it brings blood and a knot on your head.
You hear about, like, scratches and stuff, but that's pretty intense.
Yeah, and then the very next day we were downstairs, and Weatherly started kind of, you know, sometimes we do provoke a little bit, not a lot, just to see if we can get a response, especially when something is messing with one of us, you know, in an attacking manner. We kind of give it down the road, and David was doing a little bit of that, and I was just filming him, and all of a sudden he said, oh, my back. And I said, pull your shirt up. And, you know, he had two shirts on, and they were, the one was tucked in, so I know he couldn't have done this to himself because I was there with him the whole time. He pulled his shirt up, and he had three huge scratch marks down his back, and that was all on camera and everything, too, live. So, you know, when people don't understand that you can be attacked and you can be injured doing this. So I just want to get that out there. It is not all fun and games, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Holly, did you have any last questions?
Yeah, actually, I do, and which is, you know, it's probably a common question you get, Dave, or reference, but, you know, as investigators, I know personally for me, I have grown spiritually, not only just spiritually, just, you know, I've opened up a lot more since I've been in the field. Do you feel like you have?
Oh, sure, yeah. Like I said earlier, you know, I think the longer you do this, the more open you become and the more you realize that there's things out there that we just do not understand, you know.
But what a connection, right? Like, it's overwhelming. You know, I attended an event over the weekend with Pat Bussard. I don't know if you know who she is, but it was awesome. We had a bunch of people together. It was funny because when you was talking earlier, it reminded me of it because she referred to us as the X-Men, so we called her Professor X. But it's funny that, you know, I just love it. I'm like you. You know, I'm very passionate about this field, and it's nice and refreshing to know that someone can be in it for so long and still have that passion. But that's it for me, Lisa. I'll hit it back over to you, baby.
All right. Well, I'm going to hit you with the four random questions. They're not meant to be serious, so you can answer however. Okay, we'll start with, where did you grow up?
I actually grew up in, I was born here in West Virginia, and then my mom was remarried, and I grew up in New Mexico.
What kind of kid were you?
As far as what? What do you mean?
You,
I was outgrowing.
Bad, good, rotten.
I mean, I was like a normal kid. I got in my trouble at times, but nothing major.
Unknown hobby or fact about you?
I have a lot of hobbies other than the paranormal as well. I love to hunt and fish, and I used to play. I don't know if people know, but I played college baseball and dabbled in the pros a little bit.
Oh, didn't know that. And last one is, biggest risk you've ever taken?
I would say definitely parachuting numerous times.
Yeah.
No way. No, not me.
I'm afraid the chute wouldn't open. That'd be my luck.
I did all that.
Well, I'd
be afraid the last thought to go through my mind was my ass.
That's funny. All right. Well, before we wrap up, we've got another caller. Let me see if they answer. You're on the air with Lisa.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I've been on hold for a while. Hi,
oh,
Dave.
I'm
it's
sorry.
Donna Burton. I'm sure you know me from chat rooms and stuff. And as an aside, I guess a lot of people are having trouble getting into either the website and the live chat, or there is no live chat. But I saw the phone number and decided to call. I just
who
had a quick
this?
Question for David. I guess it's kind of like a three-parter.
Who is this?
Oh, I'm sorry. I did say my name. I probably said it too fast. It's Donna Gorton.
It's Donna.
Hi. I just had like a three-part question for you. I guess it's not a huge one, but are there, out of all of the multitude of investigations you've done in your lifetime, are like what would be the top three that you consider to be having had the most impact on you, and or do you have any regrets about having done them, period? Like they were just so intense that it was just like, oh, crap, what did I get myself into?
I don't have any that I regret at all because I look at all of them as a learning experience. I would say my top three, definitely Trans-Allegheny. I've been there numerous times. Probably the most haunted place I think I've ever been for activity-wise besides the Wells House, which that's another one. The Wells House was an unreal experience and insane experience. And, God, there's so many good ones. I would have to say one of the most coolest ones I ever did when I was stationed in Italy was I went to a monastery that was abandoned, and it was built in the 1500s. And I actually got EVPs of monks chanting, and that really blew me away.
Wow.
Couldn't make out what they were saying, but they were definitely chanting. And this was out in the countryside. There was no one around, and I was there by myself. And needless to say, I didn't stay long because, I'm in a foreign country, and I got the recording of that. I walked around to make sure no one was there, and I rolled out because it was – pretty intense, and I heard a lot of rumors from the locals that I did know that the satanic worshippers often frequented in that area, so I didn't stay long.
Understandable. Now, I've wondered this before, and I don't know, you know, what your opinion on it is, but in investigations that are in another country where English is not the primary language, now, do you think that when a spirit transcends onto the next dimension, that suddenly they become multilingual and there are no boundaries in that realm anymore? Or, you know, because I see everybody trying to get EVPs and so forth, but they're doing them all in English and never seem to have a translator on hand in case, and a lot of the EVPs that come through are in their native tongue, but
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's definitely a valid point because, number one, we don't know what happens when we die, but
it never
hurts to ask questions in that particular language for whatever country you're in because you never know what you're going to get back. I would ask the same question, you know, personally, I would ask it in English and ask it in whatever language for the country you're in. Why not? You know, see what kind of results you get. You never know.
Yeah, I agree. And I always have, like I said, seen investigators just do it in English. But then when they get the responses, to me, they're passing up a chance to possibly communicate with them through
Absolutely.
Further EVPs or Spirit Box, whatever, by not knowing what they're saying in response, whether it's an intelligent response or not.
Oh, absolutely.
And
you'll see me in some of my videos. I'll actually ask questions in Spanish from time to time just to see if I can get a response in Spanish.
And sometimes
Mike,
you have, which is awesome.
Yeah, and me, Mike, and Dave, we were actually at a location, Thornhaven Manor, where there was rumored to be a big Nazi and German influence at one time. And
yep.
Mike started speaking German, and we got responses on the ghost box in German. So, you know.
Yep, I do remember hearing that and seeing that.
Yep.
And that was awesome.
Yep.
So, like, I had recently seen the videos from the Wells House investigation. And, you know, I know I've never seen you in all of your videos I've ever seen and live shows and so forth, you being so shook up after different things. And, you know, I have mixed feelings over how far Tim Wood sometimes pushes things, but I understand his mentality in it of kind of a why not, and, you know, you're not going to necessarily get new results if you don't push the envelope a bit, but sometimes
right.
I'm kind of like
Everybody
thinking
has
of,
different views on that. Everyone has different views. You know, I would say there's no right or wrong way to do things in the paranormal, but we don't always all agree on that. And, you know, I would tell people not to be too judgmental, because we're all doing it to get some sort of response, for more information, for knowledge. And, you know, I don't personally do what he does, and I don't agree with it, but that's me. You know, other people may do
right.
that. You know, that's just whatever your forte is.
Now, do you find it to be a challenge, if you are investigating with other people who do things that way, to not necessarily intervene, but kind of stop them from doing it, or say, "Whoa, dude, maybe you're pushing it a little. You're stirring up some bad juju here. Back up a bit."
Well, that's the risk you take. You know, if you investigate with certain individuals, I mean, you either have to go with the flow, or, you know, take yourself out of the situation. I mean, that's all I could recommend in that scenario, because you can be putting yourself at risk.
Yeah, I know for me, because I've got a big mouth, I would have a hard time biting my tongue from intervening and being, you know, kind of like saying, you know, maybe we should kind of back up a little bit or something, and, you know, kind of slow your roll a little bit instead of pushing in that direction. And
my personal opinion, your particular way may not be other people's way, and, you know, I would not push my beliefs. I would just take myself out of the situation, you know.
Yeah, I was wondering that. There was a time when, in the investigation, where you, I guess, had gone home to see family and stuff, but it came on the heels of a really intense scenario where you were shook up by it. I mean, I could certainly understand where you would have been.
Well,
was wondering if that wasn't why you had taken that break.
That wasn't why I went, because we did take a few breaks in between, you know, a day or two and come back. Just to, because that place was so heavy, we had to, you know. So I knew what I was getting into when I went with him, you know, to that location. And I know how he does things, but I also put myself in that situation for a certain reason, you know. I don't, as you all know, that people that watch my stuff, I do not mess with Ouija boards. He does. I was there to back them up in case something went really bad, which on numerous occasions it did go bad.
Absolutely.
All of us were attacked at various times by some type of entity or entities in that house.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's just one of those things, you have to make the call if you want to put yourself in that situation or if you want to get out, you know.
It was definitely intense. And, I mean, for a month-long investigation, it was definitely a unique situation. And, I mean, I had wondered even if he was aware of just how much activity in that house exists and was going on, what he was facing when he set that up. But I don't know that I would be brave enough to go into something for that long anyway without knowing, you know, what you're walking into first, I guess. But I'm more cautious than that. And however, but yeah, I mean, I think what you do is absolutely amazing, as and have told you so a number of times, that, you know, that I think that you, the way you carry yourself in the investigations, it's the first time I've seen somebody do it, you know, logically, professionally, not run scared out of the room whenever something happens. You stand your ground, but you also know when to take a step back and, you know, take that break instead of staying in the thick of it.
Comes with this experience, you know.
Absolutely, it absolutely does.
You know, you learn from your mistakes and go on, because, you know, when I was younger and dumber, I would stay and push the envelope and pay the price for that. So you kind of learn as you go in this field, you know.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, even if you do know and have that experience, you can still come up against something that you don't know, like you were talking about, where that you got hit in the head situation.
Right.
You know, I had seen that investigation happening live. And, you know, there's no way you can be prepared or know that that's going to happen. And, you know, spirits can make threats all the time. It doesn't mean they have the energy to follow through on them, and per se. So for it to have happened, you know, we all were kind of like, oh my gosh, he's bleeding, you know, and kind of like, oh, wow. And, yeah, that was definitely a learning curve, so to speak, I would think. So anyways,
absolutely.
I just want to thank you again for all that you do and to keep on rocking. And just, yeah, thank you.
Thank you for the question.
Donna, thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking a call.
All right. With that, we're going to go ahead and wrap I believe we may have went off air because we went over time. So I'll go ahead and post, and we'll put your websites and everything on the playback. Thanks, Dave. I want to thank you for coming on. And Holly, thank you for being my guest tonight, my guest co-host.
Thanks for having me, guys. I enjoyed it.
Bye. Have a good night.
Bye. You too. Bye-bye.
Walk out my